You ever think about, you know, what's guiding the things that are happening in the world, in our lives, other people's lives, you know, around the world, in society? And one thing we know is a constant is change. And we don't, I think a lot of people have a difficulty with change. You know, we get comfortable with something, we want it to kind of stay the same.
Amen.
But change is going to happen. It has to happen. And I think it's nature to man to want to know the future, personally and worldwide. We want to know what the future is going to be. And we also have within us some kind of foundation, something that establishes our belief system, our convictions, our worldview. And it's from there that we kind of try to answer these questions, you know, like, where is the world headed? You know, if you are brave enough, some would say stupid enough to read the news, or if you read too much of it, you know, you start to wrestle with these questions, like, what is going on? How did this come about? And where are things headed? And everyone, every society from time immemorial wants to know how things are going to end, both for them personally and for the world. Because we somehow intuitively know there's got to be an end. You know, we spend time trying to figure out what the beginning is, and there's a lot of stories about what the beginning is. So if we want to know that, we kind of think, what's the end going to be like? I want to look at a couple answers to these questions. Let's turn to Ephesians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Ephesians 1. Give me a hallelujah when you're there.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Wow, that was fast. Somebody must have been looking ahead. Huh?
Well, you were talking, we were looking through our Bibles.
What were you saying?
Something about the beginning? I don't know.
All right, beginning with verse 7. In Him, in Jesus, we have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His kind intention, which He purposed, which the Father purposed in the Son, with a view, looking ahead, to an administration suitable to the fullness of times. That is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of His glory. Whew. There's a lot in there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow. And, you know, I know we could go through numbers of messages on so much of that, but I kind of want to highlight and pick up on the things that are looking ahead, looking to that administration that's coming about in the fullness of time. What does fullness of time mean? Fullness of time is, you know, when it's ripe, when it was predestined, when all of the things in the past have happened to the point where we've reached the fullness of time. So, the scripture says, mystery. Mystery. What is mystery? Does mystery mean we can't understand it? It's just I can't understand. What's it mean? What's it saying? Well, really, mystery is more of a something that is told, and then it comes to fruition over time. So maybe in the beginning, you know, we heard it and we kind of understood it, but then now it's been revealed, it's been explained, it's been exposed, we understand it. So this mystery is talking about Christ, that he is now revealed in full through Christ. God's purpose and plan is to unite all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. That's kind of the core of today's message, to kind of wrestle with that and think about that. What does that mean? And what comfort should it give us? God, in his plan and purpose, has effected a cosmic reconciliation between his children and himself, and between his children and his children. Reconciliation. And it is not done. It will culminate in the beginning of the millennial kingdom, the thousand-year reign that is to come. It was a mystery in the Old Covenant until the cross. And then the mystery was brought out into the open. Another point that is made in this passage is we have a divine inheritance. We all know what inheritance means. And it's kind of an interesting thing in society. And it does come up frequently in everyone's lives. But what is a divine inheritance? We have inherited the things of heaven, the promises of heaven, the riches in heaven. And how did we inherit it? Well, it was made possible first through Christ who died. Thank you for Terry's little, you know, message there. And we appropriate it, we personalize it, we take a receipt of it when we put our faith in Christ. So Jesus has made it possible for all of us to be reconciled with God, because we started out at a distance from him because of our sin. He's made it possible. But we have to appropriate it somehow. We have to put our faith in Christ. We have to surrender our lives to him, recognize that our life is his. And I don't think we really, fully accept that our life is his. You know, we're kind of prideful as people. We want our life to be our own. We want to have to say so. But our life is his when we surrender ourselves to him. So this inheritance that we receive is salvation, being saved from the wrath of God to come. Eternal life. Have you really thought about what a blessing that is? Eternal life. To really grasp what eternal life is and the greatness of it, you have to see and acknowledge there's also eternal death. You know, that there's something else that is so bad, so horrible, that you say, oh, I definitely don't want that. What are my other options, God? Well, eternal life. Eternal life. We've received an inheritance where we will be in heaven with Jesus. We'll return back onto the earth, the thousand-year reign in the New Jerusalem. And you know what? All of our cares and troubles will be gone. They'll be gone. We'll have a new body. You aren't going to have those thingies in your breathing. You know?
And I'll be able to sing nice.
Yeah. And, you know, do we appreciate this? When you're complaining and moaning, you got a new ache or pain, just remember this. You know, this is temporary because we've got a new body coming. I mean, do we believe that? We have to believe that what God says is true. And it's hard to do when we haven't experienced it yet, because right now it's by faith. And this is the power of testimonies. We express what we've seen and felt God do in our lives personally, and it should encourage others. You have to speak up.
I said the other option is you don't feel it, and you're either dead or you've got some kind of issues with non-feeling.
So the scripture says that God works all things through the counsel of his will.
Amen.
And it talks about predestination. That's one of those words, one of those concepts that we can only partly understand. You know, predestination. That means that something was destined to happen long before it happened. And it is going to happen because of the will of God, the will of the Father. These things that are happening, these things that will happen, are not random events. Us being here, being part of this body, is not a random event. It may seem like it is to us, but from the divine, it is not. God has had all of these things happening in here, the things that are going to happen, planned from eternity before. So what's happening is history is just rolling out. It's moving through. It's happening as God predetermined. God is sovereign, and he directs all things according to his royal counsel. It's not arbitrary caprice. He doesn't look down in the moment and see somebody do something. He says, man, that guy's got to get in trouble. No, that guy needs to be punished. No, he's had things planned. And I know we wrestle with that, because we just rebellious people. We want to have control of our own future. But it's perspective. If we will kind of get his perspective and see that it should be comforting to us, it should be a comfort that we know that God is in charge. We might wrestle with, I don't want that thing happening to me. I don't want to have to do that. But to know that God's in charge, he's got our best in mind, he's got the end prepared, it should be a comfort to us. It should be a comfort to know when we get to heaven, the only people that are going to be there is everybody who loves Jesus. Amen. I mean, every one of us will have something in common with the other. And if you can just picture that, it kind of takes the rebellion out of predestination.
I found that even if you wrestle about not wanting to do something, you're going to have to do it eventually anyways.
Yeah, like skirting. I gotta do mine one day real soon.
Yeah.
Skirting.
I had a chance to have it done earlier, but I passed it up for that time being. I was just waiting for things to settle down with the county commissioners and all that, so.
Happy.
Pastor, just a question about God's will. And I think it's in John that his will is that none should perish.
Right.
So, I mean, even though it's his will, he really doesn't want anyone to perish. And he sent his son, Jesus, to die for the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
I think he still gives us free will.
Mm-hmm. We do.
That's a hard thing to understand.
It is. It is. And I'm not going to tell you, anyone here, that we should understand it fully. Because we're not going to. We're just not going to.
I wonder how he feels about the one that committed the ultimate sin, the unforgiven sin.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that his heart aches. It, mm-hmm. it causes him to come to tears. Because, as she pointed out, it's his will that none should perish. Nobody has to perish. I mean, because this invitation, this salvation, this eternal life is available to anybody and everybody that will. I think one of the ways that we can best understand predestination and how it intersects with our free will is that every single event that occurs in some sense has been predetermined, predestined by God. So, and then at the same time, you know, we've got that going on. At the same time, we bear responsibility for our actions. You know, as Scripture says in Hebrews, you know, we're going to be, God disciplines his sons and daughters. It's just like us. We discipline our sons and daughters out of love. He loves. He loves us. He's going to discipline us.
I have a question. Is God in charge of this world right now?
Yes, he has ultimate authority, but he has allowed Satan, the prince of the power of the air, to have limited authority over the world at this time.
Right.
At some time, God's going to pull that authority, and that's when Jesus returns. Yeah. Satan is cast into the abyss for 1,000 years.
And that's my question then, on that. I raised the same question. If it says in the Bible that the devil has control and his will is what's being put over the earth right now, I get that God has overall complete will and he'll be bringing Jesus back. So,
but he's given the devil
the power right
now. The power and the tool.
Exactly. Right. So that's where I have a they don't coincide with each other. They are mutually exclusive ways. That's where I thank you for bringing that up, because I was wrestling with bringing it up and how to, and I would like a good answer, or not so much a good answer from you specifically, because I know you don't know everything, but help enlighten me towards the right way.
This must not be Pastor Appreciation Month.
I'm sorry. That's all bad.
That's next one.
My thought process is that God is allowed Satan to have principalities over the earth so that we can use our free will. Are we going to follow God or are we going to follow Satan?
Okay, yeah, I agree with that completely.
So he's allowing it for now. Mm-hmm. He's allowing it for now. It's because he's allowed it to happen.
Exactly. That's why, like, when a bad thing happens on earth and people are like, well, how can God let that happen? He didn't. That was more Satan's will, not God's will. And that's where there's a little bit of confusion. And I was looking for something like
that. That's a good answer. And I would add on to that this is what the kingdom of heaven is all about. You know, it's originating in heaven and it's reaching down to earth. And those that are brought into the kingdom through their faith, you know, we have this connection to the heaven, to the power of heaven. And we can make those right choices. We can stand firm. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. So there's all that going on. But what I'm saying is, when the fullness of times come and when this new administration comes, that won't be there.
Yeah.
We don't have to deal with that. Jeffers.
Would you say it's similar to the Job? I mean, you know, it's like, Satan, take your best shot. I mean, is it the same thing here?
Yeah.
He wants us to make the choice.
Yeah.
You see what Satan's all about. You see what I'm all about. I gave you free will, make a choice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's spread out over a longer period of time. And what did God say about Job?
Yeah.
He said, this man will worship me even though he nearly slaved. Could that be said of us? And it's up to us, you know, are we going to worship him that way? Are we going to accept the good and the bad? Are we going to accept, you know, the crummy stuff that Satan puts on us? Are we going to still continue to worship God?
Well, I learned the hard way, don't get mad at him and question him. He will punish you and you will get answers for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where God does take crisis and let us make that choice so that he may let us fail, or you may fail on your own because you're not with him, but that could make you a better Christian at some point in your life. So, you know, that's really the challenge. And are you going to make opportunity out of that crisis and turn yourself around? He gives us that opportunity.
Yeah. Amen.
And we do not have to make that decision on our own, because we have been deposited on the inside of us with the Holy Spirit, who is in us, and we are not left alone to make that decision on our own. Yeah. We have the Spirit in us to guide us the right way. In the world, but not of the world.
Yeah, he does. And then he can orchestrate other events to bring us back on the path.
Sorry for the question. Okay, so if I'm overthinking this, please tell me, and I probably am. Okay, so if it's God's will that nobody dies, and we've also got Satan's temporary dominion over the earth, then
Well, I wanted to add into this little discussion we got going here is we should never blame God for tragedies and evil. Rather, we should acknowledge God's sovereignty as a means of comfort and assurance. And we should be confident that evil will not triumph, but rather God's good will. So if we read to the end of the story in the Bible, we see exactly that happening. All of these things that we're having to deal with that are going on in the world, there's going to be a new earth, a brand new earth, a brand new heaven, and a brand new Jerusalem. And all evil will be cast away from us, kept in the fiery lake of hell. So don't get too fearful or wrapped up in what Satan's able to do, because we don't have to say yes to Satan.
You're right.
And when we become born again, we've been set free from the bondage of sin.
Is that our acceptance into the what God has predestined?
Yes. Yes.
That's what it works out that way.
Yes.
That makes sense.
No, you know, the thing that we wrestle with is in Revelation it says, those whose names were written in the book of the Lamb, the book of life, were not judged. They were not cast in the fire. And it says that our names were put in there before the foundation of the world. Now, how do we wrestle that?
Yeah. I mean, what if we didn't, you know, accept Jesus? So that doesn't.
Yeah.
It's hard to understand.
Someone else buys our heart, then.
Because God knows everything.
It does.
So he already knows.
He does.
What's going to happen, what we're going to choose, and then he knows.
I think it extends, this concept extends to, okay, well, if God already knows, why do I have to go out and evangelize? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a real legitimate thought. And the answer is, because only God knows.
Yeah.
Because if you did,
and he wants us, he wants to use us to accomplish his means. Can you understand that? I mean, yeah, God has that power. This is a part of that free will. He wants to use us to accomplish his plans and his purpose. And we are blessed when we get to participate in that. You know how great you feel when you see God working in somebody else's life and he used you to work there?
Yeah.
I mean, what a blessing from God.
Dad, Mom had something.
I was just going to say one of the things, because I, you know, again, you could end up in that circle, that circular thought. And one thing that I read from, I think it was Chuck Missler, talks about we have to remember that God stands outside of time. He created time. He created the beginning. He created the end. And he stands above time. So we say, well, how does he know, or how does this happen? But when he created it, you can almost think of that the beginning and the end for God happened all at the same time. So the result was there when the action happened. And when you kind of, because I used to get stuck on that predestination and that kind of stuff, and well, but what is free will? And then you remember that he knows, he wants you to have free will because he wants you to choose him. What good, I mean, we can create robots to worship us, but what is, how is that real worship, right? Because they didn't choose to do it. We programmed them to do it. And so he wants a people, he wants the souls that who are going to choose him with their free will. But if he knows the beginning of the end, at the moment that creation happened, he also, the end had already happened for him. He was outside of it. He already knew the decisions everybody was going to make before they actually happened. So mm-hmm. you're making decisions in that timeline, and he's outside of time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So, and we don't have necessarily the language to express it, because we only know how to live in time. We don't know how to live outside of time.
Well,
so sometimes our language, we have this past, present, future in our language, and you can't express something that doesn't fit in that timeline.
It's almost like a film reel. Like, you know, there's three different frames in a film reel. The center one is now, the one on... One up here is future, the one on the left is past.
But it's already done.
Yeah, it's all done. It's all reeled up or unwinding or what have you. And God made the entire film reel, but we can only see right here and right here, you know, two frames at a time. And God can see the entire reel because he made the entire reel. And I know everyone here is old enough to know what a film reel is. Terry?
If you've ever built a block wall, you just don't start laying brick. You go and you have a starting point. And you have an end point. And in between, you have a chalk line. That's sort of what God did. He has a starting point. He has an end point. We, when we build a block wall, we fill in the spaces from the beginning to the end. And that's what God is busy doing in our lives. He's filling in these blocks. He puts in the doors and the windows that we have to go through. I look at life a lot like that. Because I've been trying to build a house for 6 years, and I really don't have a shovel full of dirt that I can say is towards the house. I have a driveway going up to a really nice view that God knows. And I thought I was going to have to make this humongous loan for this, but God has been providing money. And I can't sit there on paper and figure it out. Mm-hmm. Maybe your life is like that. You can't sit on paper and figure out what's going on. But it's going on. And it's for your good. It's for my good. And when we sit here and struggle about predestination, there is the moment when we say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Isaiah said, here am I, use me. In his problems, that's why the beginning, his problems. But there's a freedom when we say yes. And we can stand back in that freedom and watch God work. And we just stand and wonder how he's doing it.
Amen.
So,
I just had one thing. I thought it was interesting that when we receive our inheritance, we don't receive it until we die, which is backwards of how things were done on the earth. I just found that very interesting.
Yes. So the scripture said there, with a view to an administration of the fullness of times. And I wanted us to just kind of consider the breadth of that statement, that how much that encompasses. And so some of the things that will be gathered together in Christ and under Christ and for Christ, and this is not all things, because the scripture says all things, but I just wanted to get our thinking rolling a little bit. One would be religion. Only Jesus. It would only be Jesus and those who love Jesus. I know that the world finds that offensive, but it's a fact. It's a fact of love and grace and mercy, because everyone is invited to that place. But it's going to only be Jesus. There won't be any other religions. You know, we struggle with that in the world right now. Other ways, other philosophies. Adrian and I were sitting in the hot springs the other day, and we giggled when we hear people's conversations, and the one that she had heard was, you know, the source of all wars is religion. Well, there's a lot of truth to that. And there won't be when this administration takes over, because it's only going to be Christ. There won't be any false teaching of Christianity or false teaching of other religions. Those who don't love Jesus won't be there. They will eventually have to stand before him and answer and be judged. And sadly to say, they will bow their knee and confess that Jesus is Lord, but that's not salvation. Another thing that will be part of this new administration is groups. There'll be just one, the saints. Everyone who has gone to heaven that's accepted Christ. There won't be any racism. There won't be any identity in anything other than saint. There won't be any political action committees. Can I get an hallelujah? Yeah.
There will only be one news channel.
And it won't be fake
news.
And it
will all be the truth.
You guys are catching on now. There won't be any church denominations. There won't be people going to say, I'm Baptist, I'm Presbyterian, I'm Episcopal. No. We're just children of God. They're worshiping in heaven. And when I begin to think about these things, I say, well, why don't we start doing that now?
Yeah.
I mean, why do we have to wait?
Yeah.
You know, those who love Jesus, we're all saints, and we're just Christians. We're not a denomination. And that's because God is not partial. I mean, all tribes, nations, and tongues will be there in heaven. And he doesn't label us. Why should we? Education. I feel like
it's reasonable to think that we will still be learning things. We will still have this thirst to learn. But we won't be learning purposeful sin, won't be taught to us. I mean, you realize that a lot of the education today, no matter how you get it, whether you go to the schools in town, you go to the YouTube university like me, you will only have truth, purity, love, kindness, wisdom, Jesus, taught me.
No critical race.
Yes, none of that. You know, because right now we can only see dimly, but when we get to heaven, we will see fully. We will see fully.
No Edison light bulbs in heaven.
Commerce, trade, and vocation. All of that will be done according to Christ. It won't be done for personal gain. We won't be trying to become a millionaire because we already are walking on streets of gold. We're already living in a mansion. What else do we need to strive for? But we'll be doing it out of purity of heart. Be doing things to bless others. And in fact, can't we just start doing that now? We can. And I would say to you, no matter what you're doing in life, if you're thinking about how it's going to benefit you, you're probably not thinking the right way. You need to be thinking, I should go to work, and I should earn some money so that I can help other people. Personal health. It'll be perfect. We'll have that spiritual body. We won't be driven to self-medicate, and we won't have any diseases or aches or pains.
Amen.
And you know, why don't we start doing that now? There's things we could do now to keep us from suffering those physical things that aren't necessary. So,
give them the guys.
Yeah. Relationships. Think about how that's going to be different in heaven. Relationships. I mean, what really challenges us now, what really is providing a lot of stress and anxiety in our lives, is all of the fighting relationships that are going on in the world. We won't have that. There won't be any of that. There won't be same-sex relationships. I mean, it's just going to be pure and holy. And in fact, Jesus even says, there won't be marriage in heaven because the relationships are going to be pure. And I can't tell you exactly how that's going to look, but just follow what Jesus says. There won't be lawsuits in heaven. So anybody that's an attorney,
no,
maybe they can start finding another. And, you know, we won't have to do estate planning.
No taxes at every year?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
They say death and taxes are the only thing that's...
No police officers.
Yeah. And there won't be division in families and friendships because of different political views and different views on COVID. You know, no doubt you've seen this Thanksgiving, so much fracturing and division over things like that. That won't be part of heaven. In fact, I would say heaven's going to be like the best church service you've ever been to, going on 24/7. Wow. Except, I say 24/7, there is no time. You know, we won't have days of the week, I think. You know, we'll be living in eternity, eternal life.
You can have that second donut.
Yeah.
You can have the second donut. You can have.
Maybe one and won't clog your arteries.
You know, that might be on the devil's list, you know.
Think about justice. We had a message on justice a couple weeks ago. You know, there only be pure justice, God's justice. And it will be administered by Jesus and believers. You know, believers are going to be reigning with Christ. We'll be helping administrate this. And again, there's a lot to that, and I don't, the Bible doesn't tell us all of that. But can't we start that today? And I think that's part of the function of a church. Local churches, that we get together, we hold one another accountable, we work with one another, and we move our faith down the road, getting more pure, more holy. What about entertainment? It'll only be Christ honoring. There won't be entertainment teaching us to sin, to inciting us to sin. There won't be pornography. Do you realize how big a virus that is in our world? No, you don't. You don't realize it. Because it's more pervasive than any of us can possibly imagine. We just can't. I think about God up in heaven, looking down and seeing all these pornographic movies made in the studios, the houses, wherever they're making them. And I can't even imagine how he feels about that. There won't be movies with violence and inciting us to go out and sin. But can't we start that now? This is getting down to that choice that we can make. You know, we have the Holy Spirit in us to give us the strength to say no to sin. So again, what administration will be in charge? It'll be Jesus and the believer saints. What administration won't be in charge? I love this one. Human governments. Satan, the prince of the air, and principalities will not have any authority. All authority has been given to the Son by the Father. And towards the end of the book of Revelation, towards the culmination of the seven-year tribulation, Scripture says that Jesus hands over the world, the kingdom of the world, back to God. It's redeemed. All right, so summing up both what Scripture says and hopefully the sermon. Summing up. Is kind of adding together, right? Summing up, adding together. But it's adding together all of time, all of the milestones, all of the events into one thing, one answer, and that is Christ. The Bible is not a collection of stories. It is the summing up, starting from the beginning. And all of these events happen, and it's that timeline, that film reel, it all gets added together and underneath Christ at the end. That might be more than our brain can sort out. And during this time, unfortunately, sin has deranged things on the earth and people's thinking. But we don't have to be under the dominion of sin. I want to, so just to think about it. Summing up the fullness of times. What are the things that God has rolled out? Be a long story, but I'm just going to give you 11 of them. Started with creation, then the Mosaic Law, then the forefathers and the prophets, their oracles. The prophecy of the Messiah coming, the birth of Jesus, then the new covenant brought in, then Jesus' crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension, the birth of the Christian church at the hands of the Holy Spirit, and then Jesus' soon coming return to gather up the church, the bride of Christ. And then Jesus will execute that war against all unrighteousness. And then they have the new heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem. So all of these things are getting added up,
summed up under Christ. And I want to ask us, are we participating in this plan? You're talking about, you know, between the foundation and the finish, you know, adding in all those bricks. I mean, Danny's talking about this film. I think of it like bookends, you know, bookend of creation, the bookend of new heavens. And in between that, life is happening. Are we participating in God adding these things up? And if we want to know what three things he's asking us, Matthew 28, you're familiar with this, you probably have it memorized. Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Hang in here with me, because the only reason the sermon is too long is because everybody was talking. Matthew 28, 16 through 20. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, he's speaking to us now, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. So, making disciples, how do we do that? Well, we evangelize. We love people. We administer grace. We administer mercy. We're a witness for Christ. Is our life a witness of Christ or something else? Well, we know what baptizing is, but are we attentive to when we meet people to see if we might get them to that point to baptize them? And then teaching them. How do we teach them? Once they're born again, they're ready to be taught. They need to be taught. How do we teach them? We have regular Bible study. We have prayer times. We have regular church meetings. We connect all things in our life to Christ. And when we have our discussions of our daily life, we talk about what Jesus has done in our life. Like we sang, Jesus' name is power. Power. His breath and living water, we sing praise. Yeah. That's how we go and make disciples. So that's our assignment from here on to eternity. Amen.
Amen.
Well, let's gather around and pray for one another.